You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Former Texans Wade Smith and Trap Johnson in the building, also known as Smitty and Trap, NFL Super Bowl champ, 10-year NFL vet, James Ahedebo, also in the building right here on In the Loop. Before we get into the offense and the defense, and James just threw some flames in the direction of Romeo Crennel, we'll have him reset that. I just got to ask you guys real quick. We don't have to harp on this too long. Is it okay to put steak and ranch dressing together?
What?
No.
What?
No.
Ranch
no, no,
move on.
No.
You can do ketchup,
no.
But you can't do...
What? No.
Even do that.
No.
If you don't have A1 sauce, and your steak is just okay... Like, I do that with bad steak. So, if I go to Outback Steakhouse...
Don't eat it. If it's a bad steak, don't eat it. It's already going to destroy your heart. If it's going to destroy your heart, then you might as well not eat it.
James.
You just haven't put nothing on a steak, man. Hey. Definitely not ranch. Ranch goes good on a lot of great things, but not steak.
Ranch is good with steak. Y'all are tripping.
Yeah. Hey,
it's Friday. Ahedebo,
how do you pronounce your last name?
Ahedebo.
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 Okay, because I didn't want Indy hitting me with a blowgun.
A blowgun?
Nice. What are you talking about? You got to explain that. You're pulling back the curtain too much.
I always Indy Kalu texted in and was talking about how we've been mispronouncing James's strong Nigerian last name.
Ahedebo, sorry.
Ahedebo.
So Indy is a neighbor of mine. So back in the day, I used to always say when Indy get mad, he going to pull out that blowgun and hit you with that blow dart from across the way. Or hit you with that spear and be like,
we had about 12 now, right, Biggie?
See, that you talk about privilege and stuff. If I say that, I'm screwed.
Yeah,
man.
You can't say that. It's certain things that we can both do and not do. Yeah, and that's just part of life.
I got you. James Ahedebo in the building. You just threw out some nice accusations about Romeo Crennel. Restate those for the listeners, and then we're going to go on the other side of the ball. This could get real interesting with Wade Smith on the offense. Talk about the coaching on the defensive side of the ball and what you just said.
It's facts. From the defensive perspective, and you even saw it with Tyrann Mathews, his shots that he fired at the Romeo Crennel and the rest of the Texans defensive staff, in terms of what they're asking their players to do and the stagnation of the defense. There's no pre-snap movement. There's no interchangeable parts on defense. Tyrann Mathews was most productive in Todd Bowles' defense in the Arizona Cardinals when he was asked to do multiple things and blitz from multiple areas. When he comes to the Houston Texans, what we saw was his raw playmaking ability because he wasn't asked to do anything besides line up at safety and cover your guy from the safety position. That was it. And you see it across the board from their man-to-man coverage. I mean, watching the games, I can call out pre-snap what they're doing, and there's no suspense behind it.
But then the reason I think is that way is because when Ty Matthew was in Arizona, he had Pat Peterson a lockdown corner. The Texans don't really have that type of lockdown corner, so you can't expect them to run that same type of scheme and use that same philosophy.
Here's my question is do we blame that on the coaches or do we blame that on the players? Because if you got enough vets on defense and you sitting there like they call a defense and you don't give no disguise, you don't give no stim.
No, but there's two parts to that because there's been times where I've been on defense where we've had a blitz, say zone three, where we have an edge rusher and we're playing cover three behind it,
right,
where the outside linebacker has looked at the safety and said, hey, let's switch jobs. And the safety will blitz and the linebacker will play cover three out of a disguised look.
Yeah, like watching Pittsburgh.
When Troy Polamalu there. And all those guys, what they used to do. That's a completely different thing than a defensive scheme that is designed to have interchangeable parts where guys are asked to do different things that they're physically capable of doing. If you're not utilizing your personnel to the best of the ability, of course it's on a guy to say, man, all right, well, they know that we're in cover one now, so let's try to disguise to throw off Andrew Luck, and he already knows pre-snap what we're in. I mean, that's on the coach, you know? You gotta do something.
Hey, Landry's over taking notes. Like, what do you got to say to that, Wade?
Nah, I'm Wade Smith, Trap Johnson, James Ahedebo.
That's for you, Indy. Locker room talk right here.
Be careful with that locker room talk. You gotta stick to sports there, Travis. You're gonna get us a lot of trouble here. You ain't gonna grab them. Never mind.
That wasn't real locker room talk.
It's not.
I've never heard that in the last
never year. Never in my never. Life.
All right. I'll stick to sports my damn self. What about offensively, Wade? Because a lot of people criticize Bill O'Brien in offense, and James says that Romeo Crennel's in the Stone Age. What about Bill O'Brien? If Crennel's in the Stone Age, what is B.O.B.?
I don't think they necessarily know what they want to be over there. I think offensively, when you look at them, you say in the run game, like, what are they? What can they do? Are they a good outside zone team? Are they a team that can that runs power? Are they you have no clue what they are. I don't think they have an identity. And if you don't have an identity, you have nothing you can hang your hat on, then you're lost. And then you say you want to be multiple and be able to do a bunch of different things. That's great, but you have to have the personnel, the coaching, and everything that goes behind that to be able to switch from philosophy to philosophy week to week. Like the New England Patriots, they do a great job of that because they have the pieces in place, and they have the coaches to make that happen. I don't think that the Texans have that same thing. I would much rather them figure out, like, hey, we're going to be this. We're going to have this type of guy play offensive line. We're going to have this type of guy playing tight end. We're going to have this type of running back, and this is what we're going to be. We're going to line up, and we're going to beat you up and play and be multiple within a certain scheme and identity. I just don't think the Texans have that.
It is interesting because it just seems like injuries, I know they're part of the game, and they are an excuse often. It's just a fact. But it does seem like Will Fuller, I get that Will Fuller's great. Me and Trapp said he plays at a Pro Bowl level when Deshaun's on the field. But when Will Fuller gets hurt, your offense shouldn't completely be at mercy, because if you just look around the league, Patriots lost Josh Gordon when he was their leading receiver. Julian Edelman missed the beginning of the year. The Chiefs lost Kareem Hunt and Sammy Watkins during the year. The Rams, yes, they took a step back. They lost Cooper Kupp, and Todd Gurley wasn't the same guy. But the offensive mind still found ways for the offense to be a strength of things.
Well, the problem is that they don't have the same personnel surrounding them to help that other organizations might have as far as the offensive line and guys. You have to keep tight ends in. You have to keep running backs in to protect. And so when you have a Will Fuller out there that he can win one-on-one matchups, he can beat a double team and make a huge play, you can still keep those extra guys in the block and it doesn't hurt you. But when you take Will Fuller out of the equation and now that receiver that is in his place can't make the same plays that he does, now Deshaun Watson has to hold the ball longer. There's easy for them to double DeAndre Hopkins. And so now the offense looks stagnant. And so you have to improve the offensive line. You have to be able to hold up on your own up front so that you can get as many guys out into the route. And so then you have options for Deshaun Watson to throw the ball to, check him down to. And that's where I think they're struggling at.
The thing I like about having you three guys in is the different perspectives from a player's perspective. Wade, you were an offensive lineman, Trap. You were obviously a defensive lineman. James E. Hedebo was a safety.
Practice
but
you makes
guys,
perfect.
You guys also had different paths to the NFL. And when we're in the offseason, and there's just different journeys of how guys get there. And I just think it'd be interesting just to hear how different y'all's paths were. Let's start with Trap Johnson, because I would say that you probably had the dream path of getting to the NFL.
Well, it was a dream, I guess. You know,
yeah, it was.
Show me the money.
I would say if you ask most Pee Wee players, they would want to take the trap path to get to the show.
He got paid before they switched switched the CBA to no question. First round pick. Yes, sir.
I would say like this. It was a wonderful experience. I think I knew I was gonna be a first round pick probably almost from the time I got to college. So leading up to the draft, it was a work hard draft. I mean, it was work, you know, working hard during the offseason. It was me, Pac-Man, Darren Sproles,
oh my God,
and Sean Merriman. They were together. That was our group before. Jeez. With our agents. So that was our workout
y'all
group.
Y'all were living good.
Oh, yeah. Out in L.A., you know, it was cool, man. Pac was being Pac, you know, so that was cool.
Dude, my buddy always tell this story. Graduated high school early and went to West Virginia.
Yeah.
And I used to talk to him on the phone. And we're from the suburbs and everything. And he's like talking almost like he's in prison or something in the locker room. He's like talking. I'm like, dude, this guy's the biggest bitch I've ever talked to. What is this guy talking about? And he was on the team with Pac-Man Jones, Chris Henry, and all that. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. I get it now.
You had that prison mentality. Mess around with Pac. You know, so it was nuts. But I look back and I really enjoyed my time, like getting ready for the draft. But I remember how stressful it was, knowing you're going to be a first-round pick, but not knowing where you were going to go. I think probably was one. And to be honest with you, if I could do it again, I'd rather go second round and go somewhere that had a scheme that fit me and play 10, 15 years than come to Houston and be a 3-4 guy sitting on the pot, taking on double teams for what reason, not using any of the physical tools.
And the expectations.
The expectation wasn't the issue. It was the fact that you draft a 4-3 defensive lineman that plays in the backfield, is Mr. Tackle for Loss, and then all of a sudden you tell him, hey, you know what, we're going to put you in 3-4. You're going to sit on the pot, play these double teams. You're going to read and react. Oh, and we want you to get sacks. Hold on. So I gotta check run first and then transition to pass when all the tools that you've watched of me on tape has been get off the ball, get off the ball, get off the ball, play with leverage. Be him. You want to take all of that, throw it in the trash. Oh, no, we don't want that. We want this other guy. Well, why didn't you wait till next year to draft Haloti Ngata when you knew he was coming out to be a two-gapper? I play one-gap defense. I get off the ball. You know what I mean? So that was, looking back, I think it was a great experience, but I think for people who don't know the game, they're like, oh, you're a bust. It's the first thing you say, oh, you're a bust. Well, I started most every game I played in, for one. For two, outside of injuries and outside of scheme. I mean, that was the biggest thing is if I go to Indy, all of a sudden I'm a Pro Bowler. And they're like, oh, look at this guy. I mean, Jason Babin played on 7 teams before he went to his first Pro Bowl.
He had to get in the right situation.
And he got in the right situation. Everybody's like, oh, where's this guy been? It's always been that guy. It's just a matter of getting him in the right situation.
But there wasn't much stress for you on draft day, though. You knew you were going in that
first
round.
No, it was.
So
I never forget. I had.
Let's hold this over. Because Trap, that's a first round pick. We got Wade Smith. That's a third round pick ahead of Bo, undrafted, but he's the only guy in this room that has a Super Bowl ring. Sorry, guys. I just got to bring that up. We're going to lay out the unique paths to the NFL with Smitty, Trap, James ahead of Bo. I'm Landry Locker. Next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.